Before today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, I want to tell you about our new podcast series, Super Scoreboard, the old firm through the decades, in association with Indigo Unified Communications. Join me, Hugh Keevans, and a host of legends from both sides of the divide as we look at the history of the old firm Derby from the 1960s to the present day. In the latest episode, Simon Donnelly and Mark Hatley join me to discuss the rivalry in the 1990s. To listen, download the Radio Clyde app or search Super Scoreboard, the old firm through the decades, on your usual podcast app.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scotland will be without three key men for tomorrow's huge playoff with Israel due to coronavirus. One of them is Ryan Christie, who looks set to miss the Old Firm game, probably along with Odson Edouard, who's tested positive. And the second batch of Betfred Cup games takes place tonight, with Hamilton on the wrong end of an upset last night. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me this evening, Andy Halliday and Mark Guidi.
Yeah, as you say, Gordon, the headline news: Scotland unfortunately without three major players for tomorrow night. It's a real sore one for Steve Clark, Stuart Armstrong, Ryan Christie and Kieran Tierney, all out due to COVID and the COVID regulations and a couple of injuries as well. It's the last thing that the Scotland manager needed, but they will just need to get on with it. Edouard, able to play for Celtic, we believe he'll be available due to the COVID rules. He will be available for selection for the Old Firm game. 10 sleeps to go. And delighted to see you get Andy Halliday beside us, who helped Hearts off to a winning start in the Betfred Cup last night.
He did indeed. Andy Halliday, on the day in which we were reminded again about the impact coronavirus is having on our lives, and that applies to everyone, it is wreaking havoc internationally and domestically as far as our football is concerned.
Yep, three coronavirus cases, obviously in different one, you know, one positive, a couple of negatives, but not only that, a couple of injuries that, you know, when you look at the five names, you know, you're looking at least four of them are probably going to start the game. So it's a huge blow in terms of the Scotland team for tomorrow. And like you said, looking at the Old Firm game ahead, it's, you know, it's a huge doubt that a couple of them are going to play.
Yeah, 01419511025 on the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Mark Guidi, this is obviously a football show. Don't need to always put that disclaimer in. So it goes without saying, before we get caught up in the madness of who should play and who shouldn't play and why can't he play and why is he available and all the rest of it, Odson Edouard's tested positive and so is Stuart Armstrong. This is a deadly virus and we hope the guys are okay. I think Odson Edouard in particular has already tweeted to say that he's fine and all the rest of it. But first and foremost, the health and well-being of the players is the priority.
Yeah, it is, because we should never underestimate what it could be. Even if you are a young, fit, healthy sportsman, there could always be a wee twist and thing. So yeah, first and foremost, and we hope that their family's okay and people close to them, and that there's not, we hope it's not as widespread as we think it might be. And then when you look to the football and you put all that to one side, I just hope, Gordon, that Scotland get a result tonight. It's a massive game, biggest game since the playoff against Holland, and the game against Italy when Alec McLeish was in charge and Bertie Vokes before him. But I think now, and as Andy mentioned, the two injuries to Palmer and McKenna, it strikes me now that Steve Clark really should be will be concentrating more on selecting a team that really takes into account the strengths of Israel. I think before, if he had all your players available, he would pick the team that he feels the Scotland team to go and worry Israel. But now he'd need to really look at the strengths of, right, I need to pick a team that possibly first and foremost combats them and make sure that we nullify their main threats, and then I'll build it round from there. Might be wrong, but that's what I would do now.
Right, 01419511025, give us your reaction to today's breaking news. There's been so much of it, coronavirus causing chaos in the Scotland squad, a couple of Celtic players involved there as well. So give us your general reaction. But life goes on. We do have that massive game, the biggest in 13 years, you could argue, for Scotland, and you're going to need to pick a team. So take into account the guys that are missing due to the virus, the guys that are injured. Come on here and pick your Scotland team, because we're going to have to come up with something. So let us know, 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Andy, you have experience now of being in the bubble and all the rest of it, and football's trying to navigate its way through this. We always, I think we always knew it would be a bumpy road. Mm-hmm. And we've had a couple of examples at St Mirren and Hamilton Accies and all the rest of it, but all of a sudden we're on the eve of a crunch international game, the most important for 13 years, and we're without three of our top players. We're heading into the biggest game domestically, and it looks like Celtic will be without two of their top players. Is it now starting to really hit home, the challenges that face football at the moment?
Yeah, we've said that a couple of times, and I think, you know, we're going to say it a few more times in the coming weeks and months. But again, not the first case, not going to be the last. No, I agree. I think it's obviously paramount that you know, the players' health and safety is the most important thing. But you know, in terms of timing for the national team, it's certainly not ideal. In terms of domestically for Celtic, also not ideal. But I mean, it's a squad of players that you're missing five key players, and like you said, the biggest game for the nation in 13 years. So I think Steve Clark's got, you know, probably a worry in his hands, and maybe chopping and changing a few names in the starting lineup that he was planning for the week. But you know, I still think that they've certainly got the players to beat Israel within the squad.
It's only natural, Mark. People would then look forward to that Celtic Rangers game. Odson Edouard's situation is that he looks like he'll return from France the day before the game, so he's isolating until then. So technically, he's going to be available, but realistically, you would imagine not. I don't know that for a fact, but you know, he's isolating until the day before, then he comes back. So it clearly puts his preparation up in the air. And Ryan Christie, like many people involved, he has been deemed to be a close contact of Stuart Armstrong. He would then isolate for 14 days, and that would take us beyond the Rangers game.
Well, in the case of Odson Edouard, one thing that Neil Lennon, though, he's not going to get injured because he's sitting in a house or in a hotel room, wherever he is in France. So that's one thing. Yeah, he'll have missed out in, you know, 5 or 6 days training over the next 10, 11 days. I was at Celtic St Johnstone on Sunday at Midderney Park, and looking at his form, and it's been the case for a number of weeks, would Celtic miss him? No. I know he's a big game player. I think he's the kind of player that responds to the big crowds as well, and not having crowds in there, I think's had a negative impact on Edouard. So if you to go purely on form, I don't think he'd be anywhere near the Celtic starting lineup. But he does have big moments, as Andy knows. He's played against him a number of times, so you bring that into account. So I don't know, it's up to Neil Lennon. But even if he didn't have COVID, Gordon, he wouldn't really. Most of the players won't be back till Thursday or Friday anyway. Yep. Probably Stephen Gerrard and Neil Lennon and all the other managers will only get one, maximum two sessions when you look at all the games that they've got.
Right, let's hear a bit from Stevie Clark. We want to hear from you on the phones. He says it's been a difficult day for everyone in the Scotland camp, but he says the health of the players is the priority, and he says he can't lose focus on just how big tomorrow's game is.
A difficult time for us in camp, especially difficult for the people involved in the immediate process. There's a situation with the COVID that Stuart Armstrong came in, tested negative when we had the UEFA test done yesterday. The results came through this morning, and unfortunately, Stuart is tested positive, and by association and close contact, the NHS have done their track and trace, and we've identified another four, which includes two players and two staff members, that are also out. I obviously know the players that are involved and key players for us, so a difficult time for me as a manager, and now some difficult decisions to make, or some other decisions to make in terms of team selection, which really is my main focus now, because what's happened has happened. Hopefully everyone involved comes through with no issues, and the health of everybody is more important than any game of football. But now, as a football manager, the national manager, I have to make sure that we get the team on the pitch right frame of mind and ready to go for a positive result.
Right, what do you make of today's news then? Let us know on the phones or on Twitter. And looking forward, we're going to have to field a team of some sort. So pick your Scotland team, taking into account all those guys that are missing through either illness or isolation or injury, whatever it may be. Pick your team as well. We're here until 8 o'clock, so plenty of time. Let's get stuck in with Jerry, who is on the line. Jerry, it's been quite the day, hasn't it?
It has been, Gordon. Thanks for taking my call. I'll just echo your sentiments at the start. I hope Odson and Stuart get better soon. Not just as a Celtic fan, but as a person, you don't want to see players getting ill. I think generally, though, there's a couple of points. International football, I completely disagree with it going on in this current global pandemic. Players flying over the world, sharing team buses, hotels, the rest of it, it's completely unnecessary. The only reason it's going forward is for money. UEFA want their money. And I think this was a disaster waiting to happen. We knew it was going to happen. We knew players were going to get infected. Not just players, but physios and coaches, and all other people associated with football, it was just a disaster waiting to happen. Why international football's going ahead, I completely disagree with it. I also feel, and I don't like to come on and criticise guys on the show, but Mark's on the show tonight, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but I think at the weekend, your position, along with Hugh and a couple of others, was, as far as getting fans back in stadium, the position was, you know, we can go to pubs and restaurants, so why can't we have fans in football stadiums? Well, obviously now we can't go to pubs and restaurants. But even so, it was never safe to go to pubs and restaurants. You're always taking a calculated risk going to these places. In my opinion, we have to consider this season a complete write-off of getting fans back into stadiums. And we have to get the heads together and come up with some kind of plan to save Scottish football. Because, as we all know, it's in crisis. Clubs are losing money hand over fist. But we have to get away from this idea of we're going to get fans back in stadiums. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen anytime soon. It's certainly not going to happen this year. And I don't think it's going to happen this season. So let's just put that to one side and actually come together and put a plan in place to save Scottish football.
Yeah, I certainly admire the sentiments. That the fans in stadiums debate is going to rumble on, Mark, and there is still a belief within certain high figures in Scottish football that this season isn't a complete write-off. Jerry might think it is, and it may well be. If we limit ourselves to kind of what's happening right now and how it's impacting on the field, Jerry says he thinks international football at all at the moment is in the middle of a pandemic is a recipe for disaster. Would you go along with that?
I can see where he's coming from, but I think we've got to try and have as much normality as we can. We're all aware of what's out there and the dangers, and I've got my own personal views on that, and this is not the platform to get into them. But in terms of football, I think we try and be as normal as we can. As Jerry hit the nail on the head, we want to try and save clubs. So one of the best ways to help save our football clubs and save our game in Scotland is by getting supporters in and having games on. It's all guesswork, but I think that, you know, by April time, I think we could have fans back in, edging towards full houses, bearing in mind that whether we like it or not, there will be pressure from UEFA to governments in the UK, bearing in mind that we've got Euros coming up, games at Hampden, semi-finals and final scheduled for Wembley for that tournament. So there will be a need to try and address it, and you can't address that at the last minute. So things will happen then. But now for me, I want to try and get fans back into the grounds. And again, without granting my own political views on it, I do believe that there should be right now some kind of way for a certain number of fans to get into grounds all over the country.
Andy, in terms of what's happening on the field with these Scotland players, this is the bit that becomes a bit murky. I think you need to hold your hands up at the start and admit that there are a lot of unanswered questions. Mm-hmm. Particularly if you look at the way this has played out. So Stuart Armstrong actually returned a negative test for COVID when he arrived at Orium on Monday, but then a supplementary UEFA test returned a positive result this morning. Now what happens then is that Lothian Health Protection Team, because that's where they were at Orium, so Lothian Health Protection Team get involved. They identified that Kieran Tierney and Ryan Christie were the closest contacts, and they now have to isolate. The problem is, or the confusion is, Arsenal have now issued a statement with quotes from Kieran Tierney saying that Kieran Tierney was socially distant at all times from Stuart Armstrong, didn't break any rules, didn't break any guidelines, yet he's still been told to isolate. And once the health officials say that, you're not really coming back from it. You're just going to have to.
And I don't think Arsenal are making that statement unless they believe they have solid grounds. And I think Kieran Tierney's obviously been strong in his opinion on it. The issue is, for me, whether I agree with the protocol or not, the fact of the matter is, if Kieran Tierney and Ryan Christie have tested negative for the virus, their next game's in 10 days, 11 days. So they have an opportunity to have three tests in that period, which could all return negative. But at the same standpoint, I've sat and spoke about how I believe that the players' health and safety is paramount. Mm-hmm. If the NHS have stepped in and that's the protocol, unfortunately there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, that is it in a nutshell, Mark, because you can understand the frustration of the players. As Andy quite rightly says, yeah, Ryan Christie's tested negative at the moment. He could test negative probably, if my time frame's correct, three more times, mm-hmm, before Celtic are due to play Rangers, but he still won't be able to play.
Well, tell me this, and I genuinely don't know the answer. I'm not being mischievous here. Can Celtic and Arsenal, can they defy the guidelines and play those players.
I wouldn't have thought so. And I think also for us, it's probably not worth going down that route. Because
I'm just asking the. I'm just asking a genuine question because I don't know the answer.
No, not
they can't. Right,
no.
Okay.
I think that's the
got
safe.
An answer. That's fine.
I mean, anyone can do what they like, can't they? But I think ultimately those are the same rules that govern everyone. If you're told to isolate, you're told to isolate, and I think that has to be the bottom line on it.
On Gerry's point as well about seeing the potential of international football being stopped, I think surely that applies with European football in general, even for the domestic clubs, because I mean Rangers and Celtic are still flying across the country and in different borders and having travel and certain isolations and bubble experiences as well. So, you know, the international point is made kind of reflects the same on European in a domestic way as well.
Yeah, and Gerry, I get what you're saying about, you know, it was a recipe for disaster. I think a lot of people will agree, but you know, you referenced sharing buses and sharing hotels, but you could also come back at me and say obviously not, obviously something's gone wrong at certain places, but you know, the players are socially distanced within hotels. There are strict measures in place to make sure this doesn't happen.
I know, Gordon, what you're saying, Gordon, but it obviously has happened somewhere down the line. It's just an unnecessary risk we're taking with players' health. And I really need to pick up Mark. I'm sorry, Mark. I just think you're completely irresponsible even asking the question, can you defy the rules? But pushing this narrative of getting fans back in stadiums is quite honestly dangerous.
In my opinion, Gerry, it's not. In my opinion, it's not. And up until today, we were allowed to go to pubs and restaurants and cinemas. I know that's been shelved in different ways for 16 days. So it's a narrative that I believe in and that I put my trust in the public to go and watch a game of football. And I'm not saying, you know, let's get 50,000 back into Ibrox and 60,000 back into Celtic Park. So it's not a dangerous narrative I'm pushing. I'm well versed on it. I'm respectful of it. I do believe there's something there to get fans back in. And in terms of the previous point about asking Gordon, can they defy, I just wanted to know the answer because I didn't know the answer. And if you don't know information about something, rather than guess, the best way to try and deal with it is get somebody to give you an answer. And Gordon gave me an answer, so I'm thankful for that.
The fans debate is a good one, and I'm sure it'll rumble on. And I'm not saying we can't discuss that tonight, but I feel as if we've got enough on our plate with what's going to happen on the pitch. We need to figure out who plays for Scotland and what impact this might have on Celtic going forward and things like that. So Andy Halliday, if you had to pick a Scotland team out of what we've got left, who would you go?
I mean, like I said, you're missing, you know, at least four players that we're going to play in the game. I don't think there's
any. Because Palmer and McKenna are injured on top of the virus, guys.
Yeah. I think there's no doubt they were going to play. I don't think there's any doubt that Kieran Tierney and Ryan Christie were going to play. There's an argument that Stuart Armstrong could have even played. But I'm looking within the squad. I think they'll go three at the back. I think they'll go three at the back again. You look at the squad, there's only the only really recognised winger there's Ryan Fraser. So I can see them going a back three. Another reason for that is, you know, there's quite a lot of inexperience there within Scotland central defenders. Ryan Poitras has never had a cap. Scott McTominay's, you know, not natural centre back. I think, you know, Cooper's the one you can definitely see playing there. And I think Declan Gallagher, although I think he's been, you know, he had great form certainly at Livingston last year, I don't think he's shown his best form at Motherwell. So I'd go
Motherwell last year, but Motherwell at the start of this year,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah. So I'd probably go three at the back with David Marshall in goals. I'd go Cooper, I'd go Poitras to make his first cap, because I do think his form right now is greater than Declan Gallagher's, albeit he's got that inexperience. Scott McTominay, left wing back, I'd go Andy Robertson. I think everybody could have guessed that. Right back, I'd go for Ryan Jack. Midfield three, Callum McGregor, John McGinn, John Fleck. And I would go Ryan Fraser behind Dykes.
Okay, don't mind that. What about you then? What would you do on the lines? Who would you pick? We have been affected majorly by coronavirus restrictions and by injury, but we still got the biggest Scotland game in 13 years tomorrow. So who should play? We'll hear from you and more from Stevie Clark next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Mark Guidi are here trying our best to react to what's been a crazy day in the world of Scottish football. Just a recap, Ryan Christie and Kieran Tierney have had to isolate for 14 days because they've been judged to be a close contact of Stuart Armstrong, who has tested positive for coronavirus. We wish him well. That obviously has a huge knock-on effect for Scotland tomorrow, and then Celtic once we get back to the domestic stuff. Odson Edwards also tested positive within the last 24 hours or so. So Scottish football, like all aspects of life, really feeling the knock-on effects of coronavirus at the moment. Let's bring in Mark in Cumbernauld because he's been waiting for ages. Hi Mark, my apologies.
Hi Farrell, hope you're all doing well. I just wanted to talk about the... Obviously, I'm a big Celtic fan and I'm also a Scotland fan as well, but I wanted to talk about the amount of players that Celtic are losing throughout this international period. It's getting a bit worrying, to say the least. You know, I understand they lost Edouard last night, Ryan Christie today, even though he's not tested positive for COVID. Also got James Forrest out with the European last European game, so he's out for 6 weeks. So that's... Now, like I say, I'm a big Scotland fan and I hope they progress and I hope they do really well. The worry for me is though, what the chances are of Celtic coming out of this international triple header with the same players or the players that are still there, still fit when they come back for the Old Firm game. Mm. Obviously, we've got the biggest game of the season coming up in 2 weeks' time. We'll also play AC Milan during the week after that, and then we're away to Aberdeen as well, as far as I'm aware. So, and a following European game. Now, I know the COVID doesn't last that long, but my biggest fear is we've got three of our most influential players are now, probably both three of them are all out of the Old Firm game, biggest game of the season. And the worry for me is if we lose somebody like Callum McGregor or even any other foreign players that are now away international, it could be, I think, it could be quite a catastrophic for the Celtic and possibly Scotland as well.
Yeah, Andy, how nervous will club managers be? I think they probably always are at international break. How much worse will this one be?
From a Celtic standpoint, it doesn't look great. You know, I think it's fair to say that Celtic haven't been in their best form, especially in an attacking sense, for a number of weeks now. You know, we've gave them credit for still finding that good habit of digging out results when they're not playing well. But looking ahead to the Old Firm game, you know, you're talking at there's four strikers. You're looking at Odson Edouard, who's going to be isolating for 10 days. Could recover the day before the game, so probably not going to be fit to start. You're looking at Albin Ayeti, who's obviously
injured,
struggling
as well,
fitness
yeah.
wise and injured. You're looking at Lee Griffiths, who just made his first sub appearance in, I think it was 8 months, mm-hmm. 9 months. And you're looking at Patrick Klamala, who's sort of had an up and down start to his Celtic career. So I think certainly in the attacking sense, although it's, you know, it's not been at the free flowing best over the last few weeks, it looks as if it's going to struggle even more. But even to complement that, I think Ryan Christie's someone who's played off the front line and been a striking at points and someone who's been, you know, sort of one of the form players of Celtic at the start of the season. So I think Neil Lennon's, you know, he's arguably got a bigger worry in his hand than Steve Clarke right now.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, the thing is though, I'd imagine that today will be a reminder, not that we needed it, but for every man, even for Steven Gerrard, who hasn't had that news yet, but a reminder of just how easily it might come. You know, with Borna Barisic being away and Philip Hollander went away, but I think he's now come back actually as a precaution. And Stephen Davis and Alfredo Morelos and down the leagues you go, and Motherwell have got Declan Gallagher and Stephen O'Donnell in the Scotland, Ryan Porteous. The list goes on. Every international break's probably a cause of anxiety for club managers. This one must be different level.
Yeah, we turn on the tail every day and you're looking at Sky Sports and the sportsmen and women all over the world in all different sports. You just see it flashing up, testing positive. So it's not going away. There's going to be more and more cases, and it's just, you know, you've got to keep your fingers crossed because it's something, Gordon, you can't control. You cannot control it other than banning your players for going and literally, you know, locking them in handcuffs inside the house every day. You know, at some point you're going to be hit with it, and you just hope that the impact isn't great.
Does Scotland still have enough, Mark, without those players tomorrow? How much do you think it damages Scotland's chances?
I think it does it quite a lot, actually, especially with the injuries I've just been reading as well. Mm-hmm. So McKenna and the right, was it Palmer, the right back, yep. He's out as well. Kieran Tierney, these guys are big, big players. For me, obviously, I'm a big Celtic fan. I know Ryan Christie's quite a mobile player. He's a very good link-up player between the front man and the midfield. And to miss him out, to also miss out Kieran Tierney, who I know there's a bit of a fight between him and Robertson, who plays left-hand side, but he can also play right-back. Now we're missing possibly two guys that could play on the right. And this is, again, this is the most important time to be a Scotland fan as well. So I think we're going to, in my opinion, I think it's going to be an uphill battle for Scotland at the minute, because you're going to be putting guys in there that are inexperienced, young Ryan Porteous and guys like that, they're likely that, you know, I think Andy's saying putting Ryan Jack to the right hand side. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys, you're putting square pegs in round holes in,
and you're wanting them to go out there and turn it on against, and not qualifiers are going to determine if we go any further, you know. So I think it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, I think with the situation the Scotland squad's in right now, I think there's definitely going to be square pegs and round holes. I think you're looking at the right back area. I think, you know, Palmer was a certainty to start. I think right now, similar to what I said about Declan Gallagher, I think Stephen O'Donnell's someone that's had a lot of credit over the last 2 or 3 years and deservedly so, but still don't feel that he's hit his top form yet at Motherwell, albeit he was out of football for a period of time. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Ryan Jack play there. You know, he's played there and plenty of times in his career. I think it is a different role when you play wing back. So to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised to see Ryan Fraser there. I don't think it's his best position either, but I just think it's the situation the Scotland squad are in just now.
So you think, knowing him as you do, and he's actually played there for Scotland actually, against the Netherlands at Pittodrie that time, Ryan Jack, you'd back him again and do a job in that right hand side of defence, whether it be in a four or a sort of three?
Yeah, I mean I don't think it's his best position, but I think he's certainly more than capable of playing there. You know, like you touched on there, he's played it numerous times for Aberdeen, he's played there for Scotland, so he's got experience at the top level playing that position. So I'd have no doubts if Ryan Jack went in there tomorrow night in that position, he'd do well.
Andy already gave us his team, Mark. What would you go for, given the difficulties that we face?
The more I listen to the interview with Steve Clark that you played, Gordon, normally by this stage Steve Clark would have the team picked. They've done their shape of the day, their set pieces, everything. They'd had their classroom work. But I think tonight he'll have a sleepless night. I think he's got five major decisions. First of all, formation. And whether he goes 4-4-1-1, 4-1-4, or 3-5-2, whatever it is, he's then got, who's my right back / right wing back? Who's my two central defenders? Who's my striker? And who's potentially one of my remaining four midfielders? So
Don't worry about second guessing the manager.
What would I do? I would go 4-4-1-4-1, and I would go David Marshall in goals, just purely for experience and big game mentality. Ryan Jack and Andy Robertson as my two fullbacks, and an untested partnership of Portis and Cooper. Don't think there's really any options there. I'd then go holding midfielder Scott McTominay, big game player, big game experience, four in front of him, Ryan Fraser, John McGinn, Callum McGregor and John Fleck. And I'd go Dykes, McBurney or Shankland. I think you could put the serum
all three,
the serum in a hat, and really pick one out. But I'd give the nod to Lyndon Dykes.
On the point that I said to Mark, I don't think no matter what shape you play tomorrow night, there's going to be a square peg and a round hole. So you're looking at Mark's team there. Sorry, who did you have on the left hand side?
Fleck.
Well, sorry, whoever's best. No, whether you put McGregor out there or McGinn out there,
the fact of the matter is he doesn't have a choice. There's no standout choice, because there's no recognised winger within the squad and Ryan Fraser. So no matter what shape they play tomorrow night, there's going to be a square peg and a round hole.
Lyndon Dykes, is he in the driving seat because of what he did last time? I know that Ollie McBurney's back in the squad, he plays at the higher level, that would maybe put him ahead in some people's minds. Who would get the nod for you? I think you picked Dykes, didn't you?
I said Lyndon Dykes. I think purely off the back of his previous two performances, getting that first Scotland goal, I think's massive for him. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ollie McBurney, but if it's me, like I said, off the back of the last performance, I would give Lyndon Dykes a nod.
Stevie Clark says it is time to turn to plan B with various players out. He says, quite simply though, an opportunity for others to come in and make their mark.
Obviously I worked towards one team and now I'll have to change that. We have a training session after this press conference. Obviously we were waiting on clarification on the situation, so we moved the training back to this afternoon. We now have a little bit of time to work on one or two different things, one or two different players coming into the team that maybe didn't expect to play. So although it's really disappointing for the ones that are not involved and have had to drop out because of the situation, for the ones who are going to get the chance to play, what an opportunity. It's something that's there, it's in everybody's life now, so there's nothing we can do about that. We just have to adapt as much as we can, be ready. I think be prepared for it is probably the best way. And one of the speeches I always give to the squad is how everybody who comes into the squad, I picked an extra large squad this time to cover such eventualities, and I tell them all that they have to be ready to step in at any time, because we need everybody.
Life is a bit unfair at the moment, Mark. We always bear that in mind. But what about for Stevie Clark?
Aye, I feel for
him. How tough is an international manager at the best of times? Because your preparation can get disrupted by various factors. Everything that's gone on in the last few months, he's had a bit of stick for recent performances. We've got a couple of okay results, but for the performances, so you get the impression that he was kind of running out of goodwill amongst the Scotland fans based on the reaction to the last doubleheader. Mm-hmm. And you now go into Scotland's biggest game in 13 years, and this is the build up for it. This is the preparation. No fans inside Hampden as well, in case you'd forgotten.
Aye, look, I really feel for him. You go back to a month ago, his first game in, what, 11 months, going back to November. Listen, it's the same for every international manager, but for our own international manager, I really feel for him because I like him. I think he's a good bloke. And he's top class at what he does. I think the stick that he got in the back of the Czech Republic defeat and the players, I didn't agree with it. At the end of the day, they won the game. It wasn't great, but they won the game on the road. And it doesn't matter what opposition the Czech Republic is out, Scotland won the game. And now get into this, you know, what's happened in the past 24 hours, then get into the squad with, you know, losing like James Forrest, even Andy's teammate Stephen Naismith. You know, the circumstances of Hearts Football Club has not allowed Stephen Naismith to be involved, and he would be an asset. I'm not saying he would be a certain starter, but he would be an asset to have around the place. So all of these things are going against him, and I just hope that he gets a result tomorrow. I think Scotland will. I think it's going to be very, very nervy, but I think Steve Clarke deserves a break, and I hope he gets it tomorrow night.
Let's try our best to look at the positives, Andy. It's not easy at the moment, but John McGinn, coming off arguably one of the results of his career, probably, maybe not in overall significance, but the nature of it, you know, coming into that area. I know Ryan Christie and Stuart Armstrong's out, but we still have a lot of those midfield options. Do you still feel like there's cause for optimism?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm looking at the squad. I still think there's more than enough to beat Israel. You know, you look within the Israel squad, out with the players that play in our country, of course. I think you look at, you know, the boy De Boer for Hoffenheim. I think in the first game he was impressive. I think it's the boy Zahari for PSV. Out with that, there's not really many big game names. I think you're looking ahead, you know, if they do get through the game, potentially in Norway. Now you're talking, there's, you know, a couple of world-class talents in there. But, you know, I think, touching on the Czech Republic game, I think Steve Clarke would rip your arm off for a Czech Republic performance, as long as they got the end result. So I think the result's all that matters tomorrow, but I feel that Scotland have got more than enough to win the game.
Let's bring in George in Wiltshire, see what he's got for us tonight. Hi, George.
Hiya.
How's it going?
Sorry.
No, we've got you, George.
It's
on your
just goal. On that point. Yeah, it's just on that point of the six players out, right? I was just wondering, do we actually have enough in our team pool to get by tomorrow, essentially? And if we don't, can we draft in players at the last minute?
No would be the answer to that. And again, that will come down to testing, I think. I think it would be too late. So just to remind us of the way it worked, when the players arrived at Orium, the Scotland camp on Monday, they were tested to allow them into the bubble, if you like. But then it was the supplementary UEFA test this morning that returned a positive result for Stuart Armstrong. So the game's tomorrow, Mark. Even if you wanted to, I mean, it's Wednesday night, you know, you can't do it anyway. But if you could, I'm not sure how much it would really help. Stevie Clarke said there that he called up a big squad initially to try and cope. I'm not sure he quite had this in mind when he was talking about having to cope, but that's where we are.
Yeah, and you know, it was also the case because there's three games, which you don't usually get, so it was quite right to bring in an extra three or four.
Yeah, so for what it's worth, by the way, I think we could draft him in for the next two games,
but not
this one. Yeah,
yeah, and look, go what you've got. He's worked with in the past couple of days. We are depleted, but we still have you know, some really good options, some really good players. And, you know, not in the starting lineup, the one that I've picked and the one that Andy's picked, you know, like Callum Patterson, who's been a seasoned campaigner, one of these guys that, you know, could play at centre forward, could play at right wing back, could play at right back. He might be right in the frame for tomorrow night.
Now, guys so like Kenny McLean,
Kenny
none
McLean,
of you have mentioned
as well, who a top performer. I really like Kenny McLean. I think he's got a lot to offer. So yeah, there's plenty there. But we go with what we've got, and I think we'll get a result tomorrow night. But like I say, it's going to be a nervy one.
What's your own take on it, George? Looking at the players we've got out, do you think we've got enough to get by?
I hope so. I mean, I'm always like an eternal optimist with Scotland, rightly or wrongly, but I hope so. As you say, this is the big one tomorrow. I really hope that we attack from the off, because we're better starting off, you know, press, you know, attacking our opponents and then getting a good hold of the game. Formation, you know, we've talked about that for months and months. So I just hope that Stevie Clark tells his players, like, stay to you guys, attack them from the off, take your goal scoring opportunities, and let's get a positive result.
I like it, George. I like your positivity. Thank you very much. That was George in Wiltshire. 0141 951 1025. We're going to get travel, and that means we could be speaking to you next. Give us a call.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday's here, Mark Guidi is alongside him, and we're working our way through what's been quite the day in Scottish football. Just a reminder of the headlines: Stuart Armstrong testing positive for coronavirus. He's out of Scotland's crunch qualifier against Israel, and he's joined by Ryan Christie and Kieran Tierney. They've been told to self-isolate for 14 days as a result. This comes hot on the heels of Odson Edouard. Last night it was revealed that he's tested positive, and he is very much touch and go for the Rangers game on the 17th. I think technically he'll be back the day before and therefore could play, but it goes without saying it's not exactly ideal preparation. Let's bring in William on the line and see what he makes of it all. Hi, William.
Hello, good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Not bad at all. How are you?
It's not bad.
Good. Good. Apart from the obvious.
This is something Mark touched on at the beginning of the programme. He was talking about Israel, worrying about Israel. Scotland should worry about what Israel are going to do. But I think Israel are probably in a worse position than we are. You know, I think they've had so many guys pull out as well. And I think they've got like six or seven first caps. So I think Israel are sort of on the same boat as us, you know, I think. Is it Halliday, Andy Halliday? He's talking about the round holes and square holes and all that. I just think sometimes you've got to look at it and maybe think, if you pick your best 11 and pick your best 11 players and have a formation, or don't have a formation and just pick your best 11, I think. I don't think it's went as far as that yet, but I think it's going that way. When you consider the next couple of games, you know, I think the Czech Republic, I think Victoria Paulson's pulled out three players for Victoria Paulson squad. So I think every country's in the sort of a same boat, and it is starting to get a bit of a mismatch between squads and how you can put a formation out. I mean, I think it's not, I'm not talking about freestyling it tomorrow night, but I'm talking about maybe you've just got to.
What sort of team would you pick, William? Because like you say, I don't think we're anywhere near that yet. We might need to play one or two in a slightly less than ideal position, but there's a big squad there for a reason. Who would you go for?
I think I would look at it and say to myself, what players I wouldn't drop. I think you would go for there, and players that I wouldn't drop would probably be McGinn, Dykes for the last time he played, and then go for there. Robertson, obviously, captain. So I would go for there. Porteous, maybe. I don't think I would bring Porteous in. I would probably bring Cooper.
But who plays alongside him then? Because you need another one at least.
I know Gallagher's not played well. You know, I know Gallagher's not played well for Motherwell. But for me, he's probably got... It's a pick between the two of them, yeah. I think, you know, between Porteous and Gallagher. You know,
I mean, Gallagher's got a couple of caps, Mark, which is a couple more than Porteous. Based on this season's form, it maybe would be Porteous, apart from his own goal and penalty giveaway in the last 10 minutes. We'll gloss over that from the previous game.
Yeah, I mean, just I think first and foremost, to elaborate on the point I made earlier that Williams brought up, that's exactly the main thing that I was talking about. He's got to look at the strengths of De Boer, who is a top striker, and say, who do I think is best to cope with him? Am I best having three safety numbers? Am I best having two? Who's my best two? Is it Liam Cooper plus one? Is it bum, 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 bum? So that's what I'm talking about. You look at the main strengths of Israel, and then you need to do what you can to combat that, then the rest. What I would do for sure, and I give you William, in the ten outfield players, for me, there's got to be six certain starters because of their experience and their game know-how. Now, where you actually play those six, I don't know, but you know, in no particular order, Ryan Jack, Andy Robertson, Ryan Fraser, John McGinn, Callum McGregor and Scott McTominay, for me, all need
they
to start the game.
Play.
Yes, and then you fit them around. And then you pick your striker, you pick your two centre-halves, however you're going to do it. And on we go from there. So that's what I would do. Pick those six. Obviously, the goalie, David Marshall, picks himself. Out of the ten, pick those six. But your central defence or your back three, whatever way you go, you would need to take into account the strength of the Israel striker.
William, with your Celtic hat on and not losing sight of the main consideration here, we wish Odson Edouard well. He's actually tested positive. We hope he's okay. His health is the most important thing. On a football context though, what was going through your head when you heard that he would likely miss the Rangers game, or is certainly touch and go for it?
Well, I know his form hasn't been great recently, and Neil Lennon said that. He said, and he's not been playing him for the 90 minutes. So, and I've been saying that Celtic have got great attacking options in all areas, you know. So I can't really go back in that, you know. I mean, when I think of Christie being out as well, I think to myself, okay. You're hoping that you're not going to get any more coming back for the year at the international. So like Ellen Ussie and other guys, I think we've got 13, 14 guys in international duty. So you're hoping, and you're nearly in his shoes. You think to yourself that you've got one day to train before they get the big game, and you think to yourself you're hoping he's not going to lose any more, you know. But I just look at it and I say that my mind's on the Scotland game. It's not really on the league game yet, you know. So my mind's really on the Scotland games, you know. And I think to myself, it is starting to get a wee... there was a caller on earlier saying that they shouldn't have done it, but it is starting to get that way, you know, when players are... you can't play your best teams and things like that. You know, see if it gets to that point. I'm not sure if...
Yeah.
If games should be played. You know, I'm still focusing on the Scotland game just now. I'm not really even thinking about the league game at the moment, you know. But if we get any more, then it's going to be easier to pick the Celtic side than it's going to be the Scotland side, you know.
I like William's focus on one game at a time, because William, I think you'll be in a pretty small club. We've had people on for 5 days already asking for predictions. And it actually, that kind of goes back to what I think, what we brought up when someone asked that. It's all right saying right now, who do you think is going to win the game in the 17th? Who's in the best form? Today should be a reminder. How on earth are you supposed to predict a game at the moment? We don't really know who's going to come back and who's going to be fit and available.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, more headlines hitting us before the Old Firm game, the 17th of October. So, yeah, like we said, it's the nation's biggest game in 13 years. So, they're certainly not going to rub over it and look ahead to the Old Firm game. But it's not ideal times for Steve Clarke. I don't think anyone's disagreeing with that. But yeah, like I said, I do still think that Scotland have more than enough to win the game. It's, you know, that, you know, we're talking about the shapes and the formations. I have no doubt that if Tierney was fit, you know, ever since the Scotland squad, you know, joined up with Steve Clarke and his staff, that they were preparing for a five at the back. So I think the early preparations were already done in terms of their shape. I just think it's going to be the personnel now. It's going to be different.
On Odson Edouard, Mark, the French Football Federation announced that he had tested positive. He is going to remain isolated. He's going to remain there in France for 10 days, which would see him come back on the Friday the 16th. The game is lunchtime, Saturday the 17th. Any way he starts the game, in your mind?
Well,
I think it's still possible.
I think Neil Lennon will choose Edouard or not based on form. I don't think the fact that he's not trained for 10 days.
No,
I think he'll choose. If he really believes he's up, he'll play him. He'll just, do you know what? Yeah, okay, you're fine. But if he doesn't play him, I don't think it'll be, or doesn't start him, I don't think it'll be because he's been missing for 10 days. I think it'll be because he just think, you know what, your recent form's not ready. Griffiths has looked good, or Ajeti's looked good, or whatever it may be. I think, a tough one. I think he'll start him. I think he'll go with him.
I can't see him starting. No. 10 days in isolation in a hotel room. I'd be surprised if he starts. The fact of the matter is, his hands might be tied that much that it has to start, because like you've said,
if a
Yeti's not fit, and you know the argument is Lee Griffiths, who's made one appearance in 9 months, is he fitter than, you know, an Odson Edouard that's been isolating for 10 days? I don't know. It's certainly not the ideal situation for Neil Lennon, but I'd be surprised personally if Edouard starts.
Yeah, Celtic have updated things today, saying they're disappointed and frustrated to learn of the Scotland news. However, our overriding concern is the health of the players and the staff. Disappointing that this has arisen during international break. It's something which shows many challenges clubs currently face. Celtic's rigorous testing programme continues. And here's the big line, if you like. The Celtic squad based at Lennox Town have all again returned negative test results today. In addition, all other players currently on international duty out with Oddson have reported negative tests. So we'll watch that one with interest in the coming days. Thanks to William.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Producer Dan's not happy. We're a bit late for Beat the Pundit, a bit late for the news, but nevertheless, we're here. It's your chance to take on Andy Halliday or Mark Guidi and win a signed ball. 0141 951 1025. Beat the Pundit's next. You need to call before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Guidi and Andy Halliday are here. Lots to get through tonight. We've got Scotland's biggest game in 13 years tomorrow, but all of a sudden the squad is ravaged due to injury and coronavirus restrictions. No fans can get in, and it feels like the game is just sort of creeping up on us. So let's try and keep previewing that one. Of course, knock-on effects with these coronavirus restrictions for the Celtic Rangers game on the 17th. We had the Betfred Cup. It kicked off last night, and we've got more games in that competition tonight as well. So we'll turn our attention to some of those after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Ryan in Shots is taking it, giving it a go tonight. Hi Ryan, how's it going?
I'm good, how you doing? You alright?
Yeah, not too bad at all, Ryan. I don't know what it is, Ryan, something about this week, loads of people are phoning in for the first time. Are you another one that's just sat there for ages shouting at the radio and thinks you could do this?
It is, aye. Sometimes I do alright, sometimes I do hopeless, but I'll get a wee bashy how I go on.
If you're honest, that's fine. Right, let's find out who you're up against. Heads, you'll take on Mark. Tails, it'll be Andy Halliday. It's heads, Mark Guidi up against Ryan. Andy Halliday told me during the break that he was nervous tonight and he was hoping he was good. He's decent as well, I think. He's got 100% record.
I just don't feel as up to date a recent
because you're back playing
event,
now.
So if there was any recent question, I think I'd struggle. But I've already got my pen ready to answer them anyway. So
he takes this really seriously, but you've never seen this before. Honestly,
I heard the
he loves it.
No, in fact, you were saying, was it like, I've won the night,
exactly.
He was texting
me.
I like that, though. I like that. Stephen McGinn's as well. I like that. I like that.
Anyway, I'll give you some Clyde 2 to listen to Mark, and that way we can just a bit of privacy, Ryan, so that he can't hear your answers. 30 seconds on the clock. You can pass. That is all you need to know. So just be quick and pass if you're unsure, all right?
All right, let's go for it.
Right, let's do it. 30 seconds starts now. Who won more Scotland caps, Christian Daly or Maurice Malpass?
Christian Daly.
Which Scottish side play their home games at Glebe Park?
Queen's Park.
What's Ryan Jack's Rangers shirt number?
8.
Who is the Everton manager?
Pass.
Name any of Celtic's Europa League group stage opponents this season.
Like Poznan.
Which club did Real Madrid sign Luka Modric from?
Pass.
Ooh, you should have just guessed it was the last one. Let's bring Mark Guidi back. Mark, can you hear us?
Yes, got you.
Right, same set of questions to you. 30 seconds starts now. Who won more Scotland caps, Christian Daly or Maurice Malpass?
Maurice Malpass.
Which Scottish side play their home games at Glebe Park?
Beacon.
What is Ryan Jack's Rangers shirt number?
6.
Who is the Everton manager?
Carlo Ancelotti.
Name any of Celtic's Europa League group stage opponents.
AC Milan.
Which club did Real Madrid sign Luka Modric from?
Spurs.
Which Scottish side did Alexei Eremenko play for?
Kilmarnock.
And who is the most expensive Scottish player of all time?
Kieran Tierney.
Okay. What's the verdict, Ryan?
I think that was one of my hopeless nights, anyway.
I don't think hopeless. I think room for improvement would go on the report card. I don't think it was hopeless. You ran out of time. You didn't get quite as far as Mark. You did, though, get off to a winning start because Christian Daly has 67 caps, Maurice Malpass 55. Mm. So it is 1-0 to Ryan. Equaliser straight away. Brechin City. Mark Wilson's Brechin City, Ryan. It's the Mark Wilson derby tonight as well. Dundee United.
Yes,
visiting Glebe.
Yep, Simon Donnelly getting back to play against his
right.
Old club. Yep.
The big game in the Betfred tonight. So you're level. Ryan then goes back in front because Ryan Jack's number is 8. So it's 2. It's end to end. If Beat the Pundit could be end to end, because Mark then equalised again. Carlo Ancelotti. It's 2-2. after four questions. Name any of Celtic's Europa League group stage opponents, Ryan. Celtic's group. Rangers daft. Rangers in the brain you were. You went like Poznan. You had the choice of AC Milan, Lille or Sparta Prague. So Mark moves one in front, and it then all went a bit downhill from there. Tottenham for Luka Modric. That was your end. Your run ended there. Eremenko for Kilmarnock. And Tierney is the most expensive Scottish player of all time. So it's a 6 for Mark and a 2 for you, Ryan. You were well in it up to a certain point, then you just fell away. Hardlines.
Unlucky, Ryan.
Okay, well, decent start. Thank you anyway,
decent
guys.
Start. We'll have you back another time. That was Ryan in shots. Go on then, Andy. He was like that. See that smart Alec at the front of the classroom holding up their answers. That's what he was doing there.
What did you get, Kevin?
I mean, I can tell you or I can show you.
Go on then, let's see it.
8-8.
8-8. Honestly. Brilliant. Different when
they need to be nervous.
Easy when there's no pressure on the market.
No, I 100% agree. It's a completely different game when you're on the spot.
Right.
When you were just saying, right, I meant to ask him if Ryan ever goes to see Shorts Juniors play. Remember, I played 2 games for Shorts Juniors.
What did you?
2 games.
I used to go and watch them. Yeah.
How did you? They go?
Yeah, watch Short, Hannah Park?
Yep.
What 2 games when John Clapp was the manager and Frank McGavin was playing. She'll get back to what, 1992? No, 93, 94. Mm-hmm. I played for. I lasted 2 games. I get my signing on fee, and Josh was like, "We'll see you later." And that was me. That was my career.
Finished.
Like,
I've been a few times. The year they won the Junior Cup. When would that be? 24.
Do you remember the goalkeeper Rab McCulloch?
No.
And Rab was injured, and the draft is in for a couple of games. And I was up to my usual form. Hopeless.
There we go. 01419511025. At least he's honest. We're on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Any thoughts on the coronavirus impact on football, on the Scotland game tomorrow? Mark and Andy have picked their team. Who would you like to see play? It is impossible to think about Odson Edouard and Ryan Christie and not consider what that might mean for the Rangers' visit to Celtic on the 17th. So any of those topics, get your calls in and let us know. We do have Betfred Cup games tonight. It kicked off last night. It's been a long old spell out for the lower league sides. And Andy Halliday, you played. You came on for Hearts against Inverness. How was it?
Yeah, it was good. It was just good to get back out there, first and foremost. First experience in playing in front of no crowds. Definitely different.
Different, I assume.
Oh, well, listen, everybody wants fans in the stadium. That's why you play football. You know, there was periods of the game where, you know, went a bit flat, which to be expected. But I think, you know, the gaffer said after the game, it's the first competitive game for the boys in 210 days. So I mean, after that, the only thing you're interested in is the win. So it's good to get off to a positive start.
Wait, Andy, did you play against Leverkusen? Forgive me, did you play against Leverkusen Rangers last game?
No.
So when was your last game then?
My last game was the last game I played. Somebody might need to tell me, to be honest, but I think it was.
He knows his trivia, just doesn't know his own trivia.
February.
I think it was middle of February. Yeah. Wow. Obviously, the lockdown. We went into lockdown the middle of March, but I didn't play any of the last sort of 3-4 games. So I think it was the middle of February.
How did you find even just that half hour last night? How did you find it?
Honestly, I felt like what you were saying. You felt like after fives the other night, to be honest. But to be expected, I suppose. Aye. But In all honesty, I think I felt fitter than what I perceived I was going to. I think it's just a lack of sharpness more than anything. You know, your mind's telling you to do something and your feet's not reacting quick enough. So felt better than I thought I would, but it'll take a bit of time to get up to full speed.
What's that process like then, to try and get up to full speed? Because I don't know what your recovery regime is like, but you limped in here on Friday having played a friendly and said, you know, I've came back too quickly. He was limping, he was bandaged up. Then I saw you come on last night and I'm thinking, right, what's he been up to?
It was an incredible recovery time.
Right. How'd you manage that?
There's a fine line between trying to get fit and no one to miss any football, unfortunately. But I mean, listen, the way you're going to get fit is to train as hard as you can every day and be available for as many minutes as possible. So it's technically I'm 8 weeks behind the boys. I don't think you can really, you know, fast track a pre-season process. So it's just a case I try to manage my body first and foremost, because the one thing I don't want to do is pull up with any serious injury, because I want to try and contribute to Hearts as much as possible, as early as possible. So it's just trying to be a bit clever, which, coming for Govan, I'm no very, so I need somebody to hold my hand on that part.
What's it like generally at Hearts this season? Because I'd imagine the expectations are through the roof, not only because, quite simply, they're Hearts and they're in the Championship, but then the squad that's been assembled there on top of that. Craig Gordon, Stephen Naismith, Liam Boyce, Craig Halkett, you've gone in having won the Championship before as well and played at Rangers, where you're expected to win every game. Is that going to be similar at Hearts this season?
I think it's pressure and an expectation we're putting on ourselves as well, because we know the quality we've got within the squad. You know, Hearts are in a false position. I don't think there's any doubt about it. They're certainly not a championship-sized club. So, like I said, I think there's expectations within ourselves every single day to try and drive a winning mentality. I think you look at, you know, they've played quite a number of friendlies. I think it's 7 or 8, and they've won every single one. So they've already got that winning mentality rolling. So I think it was just more important to, you know, no matter the performance, which, to be honest, I thought we played really well in spells last night, especially the first half, but it's always good to just kick off a start to
and
start
can you season. In that dressing room, can you sense that? Can you feel that level of experience? Naismith and Gordon would be the obvious ones. Is that apparent straight away?
Yeah, which I think helps as well, especially experience, because, you know, I think the squad of players that were there last year, you know, I think ultimately the performances in terms of a team weren't great. So I think, you know, the experienced players like Nasey and the likes of Craig Gordon come in, they realise it's a fresh start for the club, new manager, new staff, new players, and it's all about just trying to get Hearts back into the top four at the first time asking.
Can you tell us, Andy, I know of Robbie Nielsen and the reputation he's carved out as a coach, and I know how hard he works his staff and his squad, but I get a wee insight into his man management. A couple of weeks ago on another radio station when I was listening, and it was your signing, and the way he talked to you, I thought, God, if I'm Andy Halliday, I'm feeling 10 feet tall. The way the manager, I don't know if you heard the interview or read it, but just what likes his man management along with Lee McCulloch and how they handle the guys.
Yeah, superb. I said it in my initial interview, where I think he was a big, big part of the reason why I wanted to see my immediate future at Hearts. And I think, you know, he realises my situation just now as well, and I think he's been brilliant with that. He's trying to manage myself as well as other players within the squad, being at, you know, a different level in terms of fitness just now. But, you know, Jig as well, he compromises that. I know what Jig was like as a guy. He's, you know, he's loud, he's full of lass, he's full of jokes, which is a brilliant sort of stopgap between staff and players. If morale's low, he's going to be one that I've no doubt that's going to pick it back up. But, you know, it's all, you know, guns blazing just now. It's a happy place. The boys have got off to a good start, but yeah, no, the gaffer was a big reason why I chose to sign for Hearts.
Mark, there's a dark cloud over the League Cup as well, though. We had two forfeitures last night, forfeit and Dundee game. Obviously forfeited a 3-0 win given to Dundee, same with the Falkirk-Kilmarnock game. Standout results on the night: Andy's Hearts getting a 1-0 win against Inverness. I think the obvious one is Annan 3, Hamilton 1. And I noticed the Hamilton Accies fans on social media last night not too impressed with what they're seeing, and a bit of criticism for Brian Rice.
Yeah, I mean, that was a shock result. You know, I mean, we kind of expect Hamilton to lose, you know, more games than not when they're playing in the league. But even though they've survived, and credit to them for five years for doing that. But yeah, to lose 3-0 at Annan.
Yeah, 3-1, they pulled one back in the end.
Betfred Cup or not, I agree, that's not acceptable. And Brian Rice and the players will be feeling the same. They'll be feeling embarrassed about that result. And they've got to make up for that and make sure they get positive results in this cup, because they're expected to get through from that section.
Yeah, some fascinating fixtures tonight. I mean, all different ends of the spectrum. Hibs against Brora, you know, so that's a huge chance for Brora to cause an upset, albeit against one of the Premiership's informed sides. Kelty against St Johnstone, so remember these two sides in the Betfred Cup this season. St Mirren, Partick Thistle, that's a cracker for us.
Yeah.
You know, local, it's got a real local feel to it. And St Mirren not having a great time of it either. I wonder, you know, just how much Jim Goodwin could be doing with a win there tonight.
Yeah, he does. Jim Goodwin will be the first to admit that. He needs a win. Is it five league defeats?
Six
league defeats in a row. So, yeah, Jim knows that. I think he's a really good manager. I think he's right for St Mirren, but he's also a realist, and he'll know that he'll need to start picking up victories. It's a blow from losing Kyle McGuinness, but I think they've managed to add well. I think he's recruited well. You know, Richard Tate, Marcus Fraser, getting Lee Irwin in as well. I think Lee Irwin's a handful, and he'll do well. Joe Shaughnessy, you know, the goalkeeper as well, Anrick. So, no, I think St Mirren will get there, and I'm sure they will, but I hope that the board and the people in power there stand by Jim. But yeah, you'll have to start getting results, and tonight's the best time to start.
Right, Andy, Mikey informs me your last game is a 2-2 draw against St Johnstone on the 23rd of February. Mm-hmm. So there we go. You'll not forget that in a hurry. Thank
what
you.
What a great last game, eh?
Ah, brilliant. We're now on a high. 0141 951 1025. Ian is in Cumbernauld. He's got some interesting thoughts on this big game coming up on the 17th. We'll speak to Ian next.
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Mark Guidi are here. We're about to speak to Ian in Cumbernauld, but let's set up tonight's full-time teaser. No disrespect to those of you who make the brave decision to call in, but the longer this goes on, I'm getting convinced that Andy Halliday only comes in for the full-time teaser. It's all he talks about for the moment he comes in, the moment he leaves. So let's see how you get on with John's question tonight. It's a tough one. We're looking for 8 players with over 100 international caps who've managed in England since 1992. Now, let me just clarify something. The team that they've managed must have been in the English Premier League at some point. So it's a team you're kind of familiar with being in the top flight. Name 8 players with over 100 international caps, any country, who have managed in England since 1992. The team they've managed must have been in the English Premier League at some point.
Good question again.
I took a couple of the tricky ones out just to, with that last wee sentence, just to make it a bit easier for you.
I'll have a wee stab at one. Just thought it. Slaven Bilic?
No.
I've got a few stabs, but I don't know if I want to dive in with them yet.
Always dive in.
Pochettino?
No.
Viali?
No.
Hullet?
No. 100 caps is quite something.
I'll tell you one right now. Frank de Boer.
Yes. Who was he manager of?
Crystal Palace.
He was. 112 Netherlands caps. Well done. So you're on the right track. 8 players with over 100 caps for any country who have managed in England since 92, and the team they've managed must have been in the English Premier League at some point over that period.
This might be miles off it.
You don't have to say that every time. Just not guess. We won't laugh at you.
Because I'm trying to think the most capped Scottish player ever, but Dalglish.
Yeah.
Bang on. Yes. Well done. Right. Kenny Dalglish. 102 caps. Liverpool, Blackburn and Newcastle. Believe me, see whatever you think is a bad attempt, we've heard worse. Oh, right, believe me, right? Believe me. Right, 2 of 8, well, that's not bad.
No, I said one last week that was terrible, remember? I think it wasn't even his name.
I think that rings a bell. But no, I've still heard worse, honestly.
It was a question with a Z in it, and my guy didn't even have a Z in his name.
No, it was I'll tell you what it was. It was Izzy Muzzet.
Izzy Muzzet. Muzzet, is it? That is it.
There we go. Right, let's bring in Ian, who's in Cumbernauld. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Gordon, Mark and Andy. Just a quick thought on the restrictions announced by the government today and existing restrictions on visiting people's phones. That there's no chance that this is going to go ahead. It's basically due to pubs being closed, people are all going to go and visit each other's houses. After one, I've never watched a Celtic Rangers game alone in my life.
This could be the first one, Ian.
Yeah, no, it won't be.
You'll be shouting at the telly. I get those concerns, Mark. Ian's his line wasn't great there, but basically saying now, because of what the government have announced today, increased restrictions, thinks that puts an extra strain or a risk on the Old Firm game because people will go to houses to watch it together. And first of all, let me be pretty clear, don't do that, don't break the rules. I certainly can't advise you anything other than that. And Mark, that might happen, but is it really going to have a knock-on effect to cancel the game? You wouldn't have thought so at this stage.
The game will go ahead unless, you know, both sides lose 6-7 players over the next 10 days, or one of the sides lose 6 or 7 players. So in terms of people all congregating together to watch the game, as Ian's suggesting, you can't stop that. All the government and football can do, as you've just done, Gordon, is advised to follow the guidelines and good practice. But if 4 or 5 people want to get together in a house, you know, they want to break the rules, then, you know, they can do it. You know, you really can do it. But don't do it. So but that apart, whether you're watching it yourself or you watched it with your son, your dad, your uncle, your brother, your auntie, your granny, enjoy the game. You know, it'll be a cracking game. The first Old Firm game since December 29th when Rangers won 2-1 at Celtic Park. It's going to be a marker. It's the last round. It's the last game of the first round of fixture, so we get an idea of where the clubs are going to be. And I think that both teams going to it on a high. And I think Rangers in particular going to the game on a high. But Celtic at home, never ruled them out. But it'll be very strange, as Andy just mentioned, they're playing for Hearts last night, you know, to see a Celtic Rangers game with not a single fan in the ground. It's a proper leveller because at Celtic Park normally it would be, you know, 58,000 Celtic fans and 700 Rangers fans, but that wasn't an obstacle for Rangers the last time because they won the game and they won it comfortably.
Ian, it's quite difficult to kind of speculate on this. I don't think you'll be alone. I think loads of people are jumping to that conclusion, but we should be clear, we're not seeing anything to suggest that. I've not heard a single thing to suggest that professional football fixtures are going to have to be cancelled because of what it might or might not cause people to do in their homes. Are we not making a bit of a leap? Are we getting ahead of ourselves a little bit?
You're probably right, Gordon, but, and I hope Mark's correct and the game does go ahead, but I just think the government, the way they're going at the moment, I just think that they're going to actually pull this and maybe put it down as a public health issue, because people are going to get together and watch this game. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, the problem with that is, Andy, I don't know, again, we are just speculating and it's tough, but professional sport's allowed to go ahead. That's what the message was today. Mark Guidi and his six asides, me and my attempts at playing amateur football on a Saturday morning, these things have been curtailed for now. Can we really imagine a situation where they cherry pick that one fixture just because a lot of people are going to watch it?
I mean, all I could really say is just to echo what Mark says. I think the only thing that's going to mean that takes place is the fact that we might see more cases over the next coming days.
And, yeah, so it would be a footballing thing rather than what would happen.
Yeah, definitely. I think once we knew that there was a huge possibility there was going to be no fans in the stadiums, especially for the first Old Firm game, you always had that thought, well, if they're not going to the game, where are they going? They're probably going to go to the pub to watch the game. So, you know, there's obviously been a bit more restrictions in place to try and curtail that. But from a football standpoint, you know, fingers crossed, there's certainly no more cases than the two clubs, and I think the game will certainly go ahead.
They're not unique. Every club's had to deal with it. Every club's had to deal with the different intensity levels of playing without fans. There is a glaringly obvious one here, though, because it is the biggest fixture and it's the loudest fixture and it's the most passionate and all the rest of it, and it's got the big build up. How do you think that game will it be like with no fans, having played in them?
I mean, not special, let's be honest, because, you know, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind it's the biggest derby worldwide, in my opinion. And a huge part of that is because of the passion within the stands. So, you know, minus that, it's certainly not going to have the same competitive edge. But, you know, I think every player for both sides knows how important the season is. So I think it's certainly going to have the same competitive spirit. But in terms of the
I don't know, Mark. Is this the teaser?
Start the game.
So never mind. what people are watching, they watch it for the passion and the fans and obviously the rivalry within the stands.
Spectacle.
And the spectacle.
The spectacle.
There you go, Mark.
That's the one
I was looking for.
I like that.
So the spectacle that the Old Firm's got worldwide is you know, what makes it so special. So minus the fans, you know, it's not going to be the same.
Alright, Ian, hopefully it certainly doesn't come to that. That was Ian in Cumbernauld on 0141 951 1025.
See on that, could I just ask Andy one question on a former Rangers teammate, and forgive me if you've already asked him this, but there's been one or two said that maybe the likes of James Tavernier and maybe Ryan Kent, who've both been in brilliant form since the start of the new season, that's maybe suited them, not having fans, maybe being relaxed a wee bit more. Do you buy into that, Andy? Is there maybe something in that?
For me, no. Not at all. I think let's take Ryan Kent. You've just mentioned, for example, I think he's been Rangers' best player in the last 4 Old Firm games. So he's someone, but him and James Tavernier, they've shown themselves up in the big occasions. You look at European football as well, some of their performances. So I certainly don't buy into that. I think it's the opposite. I actually think without fans, you're seeing more mistakes from personnel across big clubs across Europe, never mind anything. Gordon mentioned earlier on the show the incredible result that we've seen at the weekend between Aston Villa and Liverpool. Virgil van Dijk, he's been in the talk and an argument of being the best centre-half in the world. He's probably made more mistakes since there's been no fans in the stadium than he did for the previous 10 years of his career. So I actually think it's the opposite.
Right, we've had a statement now from Celtic regarding Ryan Christie, and it's very similar to the one that Kieran Tierney and Arsenal issued earlier on. And this just, again, more questions than answers, really. Following today's news regarding Ryan Christie, he has reiterated his adherence to all relevant protocols whilst on international duty. Celtic confirms it aims to open dialogue with the Scottish Government and other authorities to fully understand the self-isolation procedures for these players who continue to deliver negative results, as Ryan has Ryan said, "I'm disappointed by the events today, potential effects this could have on my country and club. I've operated within these protocols for such a long time. I'm well aware of the rules, and social distancing from teammates has become the norm and something I have observed. The situation is very frustrating, particularly as I don't believe I have done anything wrong." Yeah. That's Ryan Christie. My understanding as well, Mark, is that Kieran Tierney is absolutely adamant that he has not gone too close to Stuart Armstrong, yet they're both being told. Now, this leaves everyone in a pretty difficult position, because you have to put an element of trust in the NHS and the job, and by the way, as a whole, they've obviously done a fantastic job throughout all of this. So I'm not sure we get much from opening any sort of war of words against the NHS, but both of these players are adamant that they've not been close to Stuart Armstrong, but they've been told to self-isolate and will miss massive games for club and country.
Well, it looks as though with Arsenal, State and Celtic, and it's kind of a wee bit in what I touched on earlier, that the clubs aren't going to take this line down. They're wanting, and they're basically wanting an investigation. They're not just going to accept, and they've got the word of the players. Not that's to say that we don't believe in the science and the results that come back from the NHS, but that said, the clubs ain't taking this quietly. First and foremost, Steve Clark has missed out on two very, very good players that could help Scotland win the game tomorrow night: Kieran Tierney and Ryan Christie. Then you fast forward, the club games come into it the weekend after next. So they're looking for answers, and they're not going to take this quietly. And as you said, if you get information that Kieran Tierney is absolutely raging about this, you can see the frustration, and you know, it's understandable. They're missing out in a massive game tomorrow.
At the same time, Andy, I really don't want to get the tone of this wrong. Rules are rules, and it would be the same for anyone out there. I mean, we put footballers in this sort of pedestal and really important position because of the size of the games that we are talking about. But if me, or if anyone out there on a building site or in a factory or a shop was contacted by track and trace and told to self-isolate, they would need to do it. They wouldn't get to kick up a big fuss and look to shift the goalpost. So it's a delicate one.
It's probably a stab at the dart by both clubs. They know that they're obviously missing some key players for key fixtures coming up, but from a player standpoint, they must be so frustrated as well. If they feel as if they have, you know, followed the protocols to the best of their ability, and they're still going to miss out in these two big games, I do feel for them. Similarly, like we said, that, you know, St Mirren in the past and Kilmarnock, if their investigation comes back, everything's clear. You do have sympathy for the players and for the clubs, but it's something that we're going to see for the coming weeks and the coming months ahead. And it's just like you said, it's, if the NHS have made this decision through the right protocols, then unfortunately, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, and just to pick holes in my own comparison about everyone else out there in a factory or whatever, I suppose the difference there would be that they're not getting tested twice a week, whereas the footballers are, and that's where the frustration comes from. Anyway, Frank is in Maryhill. What have you got for us tonight, Frank?
Hi, Gordon. No, Andy. You were doing so well with your media career there up to that last caller there.
Would I tell you about that government education?
Well, you need to stop trying using words more than two syllables, pal. That's your problem.
That's a bit rude, Frank. Anyway, come on.
My first question is just to you, Andy, first of all, then another question to both the guys. First of all, Andy, I mean, obviously Celtic, my club, haven't started the season. I think we've only played really in one game, that was Hibs. So we really haven't got a second gear, you might say. And Rangers on the other side have played really well, playing good form. They know what they're doing. They're on a run. And they're probably showing their best hand at the moment that they've got. And as a Rangers fan, I know you play for Hearts, but you had Rangers hat on, Andy. Do you think, does that worry you that a club that hasn't really got a second gear are still lost 2 points less than the club that's flying at the moment?
I mean, I've said it on the show for the past few weeks. I think you do have to give Celtic credit, because I don't think anyone can disagree that they've not been at their top form, albeit they've got a good habit, and they have done for the past couple of years, that when they're not playing well, they still grind out results, you know. And from a Rangers point of view, I look at in my opinion, the three games they've not played well this year has been Livingston, where they dropped points, Hibs, where they dropped points, and the weekend against Ross County, where they managed to win, which is obviously a good sign for them. But I do also feel that, you know, Celtic's performances haven't been great, certainly over the last sort of six, seven games. they have to up their performance if they're playing against a good Rangers team. And like you said, for the majority of the season, Rangers have played well. So I do think, and listen, there's certainly nothing that suggests that Celtic won't up their game. You know, they've done it in the past and in big games and big occasions. But if they have the same performance that they had against St Johnstone and Riga and Sarajevo, then I don't think they'll grind out that gritty win that they've been doing recently.
I wasn't referring to the actual Old Firm game. Hear me saying Old Firm, I never ever say that, sorry. Celtic Rangers game, the Old Firm game, obviously died in 2012. But the fact
thanks for clearing up your theory on that, Frank. We didn't see where you were going with that one.
Well, you know, I'd always get there, Gordon, at the end. But the point is, Andy, it's more that Rangers can't shake Celtic off and they're showing their best. In other words, what I'm saying is, Celtic will get in a groove and Celtic will start showing third, fourth, fifth gear for them, then that must be surely a concern of yours as a Rangers fan, that you're playing your best. Celtic are playing way below their best.
Do you think Rangers are playing their best?
I think they're playing probably the best that they'll play. They might continue that form. But I don't really see much in the Rangers makeup that makes me see they're going to play much better than they are now. And I'm not belittling how they're playing at all. I'm being very fair when I say this. But they're playing Celtic, on the other hand, who have only played, I think, two home games this season as well, albeit the crowd situation. And Rangers just have lost more points than Celtic. I wonder if, as a Rangers, because a few Rangers friends of mine think this, that they are really worried because they can't shake Celtic off and Celtic are way below par.
Right, well, in your mind, Frank, what's the most difficult away games in a domestic season?
Well, do you mean this or you mean when there was crowds or before this season?
In general, what would you say will be Celtic's biggest test away from home this season?
Well, obviously, it's your Aberdeen, it's Ibrox, it's whatever. Obviously, the bigger teams, that's your biggest...
Have Celtic played them? Any of them that you've just mentioned?
No, that's not the point I'm trying to make here.
No, but you did. You just said that...
We'll play the team at third, that's Hibs.
Away, I think, Andy meant.
I said away.
Oh, away from home, no. No, we've not played them, no.
Yeah, so... You know, like you said there, you said Ibrox, you said Pittodrie, you said Easter Road. I'd fling in there Livingston because, you know, Celtic have dropped a few points against Livingston away from home. So that's four games. Celtic haven't played any of the four away from home. So listen, like I said earlier, you're obviously trying to get something out of me that I'm not going to give you. But you have just said that Celtic haven't played their best, but they're still, you know, a points advantage if they do win their game in hand. But, you know, I'll counter that by saying, have they played the four difficult away games so far this season? And you've just answered by saying no.
Frank and Maryhill, thank you very much. We'll leave it there. That was Frank on 01419511025. We're looking for eight players tonight with over 100 caps who've managed in England since 92, and the team they've managed must have been in the English Premier League at some point. So you've got Frank De Boer, 112 caps, Kenny Dalglish, 102.
But just one thing, a wee slight clue for how many Englishmen are in this, Gordon?
I've got one of them, I think.
Go for it.
Brian Robson.
No.
No?
More obvious than that, for a couple of reasons.
Shocked at that, though.
Right, sorry, just how, no.
One.
Just one Englishman?
Mm-hmm.
More obvious than Brian Robson, because I've got about five or six written down, I wasn't sure. Right, I'll go Frank Lampard.
Yes.
Right, okay.
So you've got your one Englishman.
Roy Keane.
No. He feels like too many people to get 100 caps, didn't he?
Ozzy Ardiles?
No.
Gus Poyet?
Nope.
Coleman?
No, actually.
Is there, I know he pulled out a lot of friendlies, so I don't think, but I'll go. Is Ryan Giggs in it?
No.
Zola?
Nope. I think you two need some thinking time, so we've got Lampard, De Boer, and Dalglish. We'll get the rest next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What a question this is from John Smith. Thank you to John for sending it in. It doesn't need to be anywhere near as difficult as this, but if you have a question or an idea, send it over to us fulltime@clyde1.com. I'll try my best to read it out and we'll try and catch the pundits out with the answers. So tonight, name the eight players with over 100 caps for any country they've managed in England since 92, but the team they've managed must have been in the English Premier League at some point. Just the club, let me clear that up. So they don't have to have managed in the English Premier League. It's just that the team that they managed have at some stage been an English Premier League team. So that's why this doesn't actually apply to the ones you've got so far, but it does apply to the ones you don't. Frank Lampard, Frank de Boer, Kenny Dalglish.
I've got another couple. Philip Cocu.
Yes, and that would tick that box. So he's at Derby. Now, they're not in the English Premier League, but they have been. So that's what I meant by that. So apologies if that was unclear. Philip Cocu.
And one of the all-time greats, Michael Laudrup.
Brilliant. 104 Denmark caps. He managed Swansea. Justin Smith has gone Paul Scholes. I can tell you that's wrong. Ronnie Dempster has gone Klinsmann and Coman. Wrong. Peter Gray, he got Laudrup, but he also went Freddie Ljungberg. So I just thought I'd point you in the right direction. You've got three to get. I would say one of them is nigh on impossible, if I'm being honest. The other two are similar in that they played in the same position, and the countries that they managed are neighbours.
The countries they managed?
Yeah.
Sort of managed.
The countries they played for are neighbours.
Oh, the countries they played for?
Yeah, sorry.
Like Portugal and Spain or Denmark and Sweden?
No, we're in the right neck of the woods. Not necessarily those two, but we're in the.
Up towards Finland and. Finland and Russia? No.
Finland. I'll give you that.
I only know it. About three Finnish players.
What have we got?
Jari Litmanen.
No.
And Antti Niemi.
There's one more. There must be one more. You'll kick yourself.
Frank Kamara.
Apart from that. There's a fourth. There is.
You've got me now, right? We can't leave this, Gordon. We need to get this before we go. And they're not in English Premiership just now.
The team that he managed isn't. But do you know the thing is, it was a pretty forgettable management career. I would just think more of this guy as a player. That would be the best way of doing it.
I think it's going to be before my time.
No, it's not. 100% not. Don't start looking for excuses that don't exist.
Well, I mean, if the answer wasn't before my time, then
it's not. You've just forgotten he's a manager. But I'm telling you, Finnish players from the English Premier League, you'll kick yourself that you don't get this guy.
Oh, I've just thought of another Finnish player.
It's not
Pat Alainen. What club did they manage?
That's the thing. That isn't even going to help. It was Brighton. But the team he played for was.
Oh, yeah. I've got it. Sammy Hippier.
Nah, I would never have got it. As a player, but no.
Okay, two to get. I've told you one. You forget about it. We'll be here until Christmas Eve trying to get that one. But I've got faith in you for the other one. I think we'll leave it there. Just let me check in, see if anything's happening in the opening stages of those Betfred Cup group games. We had a bit of a shock last night. Hamilton Accies beaten by Annan, goalless Kelty St Johnstone, Hibs Brora, Montrose, Ross County, St Mirren Thistle, Airdrie Alloa, all goalless at the moment in those. So keep an eye out, particularly if there are any shocks. Mark, the Betfred Cup as well. We just can't escape it, can we? The cloud that's hanging over all the football at the moment, but particularly the Betfred Cup, because we've got these quite hard and fast rules in place. There's no real room for error because we need to get the group stage finished. So if you can't fulfil your fixture, you forfeit it. That's what happened to Kilmarnock. That's what happened to Forfar.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, but it's totally understandable, Gordon. With the greatest of respect, it's the number three competition on the domestic calendar. And there's just too much to fit in. And Ian Blair at SPFL, his job is hard enough without having to squeeze in more. And tell me this, is there Scottish Cup replays from January onwards?
I mean, let's hope
common sense has prevailed to, because they've always resisted it. The vote has always resisted doing away with replays. But this season, surely they must have done away with replays and play it to a finish.
I should remember if that decision had been taken, and I can't, but I will find out. I'll just look that up.
But so all those wee things all add up, Gordon, because there's going to be a backlog of fixtures. We are going to have several clubs at some point, if not three or four times, I've seen having to play four games in a week. That's just going to be what's going to happen, and you've got to fit everything in before the split happens as well. So you need to get 33 league games finished by the first week in April, and then you've got Scottish Cup fixtures. So there's a major backlog, and I just hope we don't have a bad winter as well.
My gut reaction tells me that the replays are still in place, as far as I can remember.
Someone will correct me
if I'm wrong. Gary is a Rangers fan calling in from Thornley Bank tonight. What's on your mind, Gary?
How we doing, guys? And Mark.
Hi, Gary.
Hey. Andy, Frank, Fair Tribe, he's like, we're your pal, don't
he? It's to be expected.
Mark, it was just a wee question for you, mate. I know you're kind of in the know about these things. Jack Wilshere to Rangers, do you think it will happen?
It depends what kind of finances Jack Wilshere's looking for. You know, he's been on, I think, in excess of £100,000 a week at West Ham. He's still got plenty to offer. He's a top player, been very unfortunate with injuries. If he's willing to drop down a good chunk, and by that, you know, I mean, you know,
a seriously good chunk,
75 to 80. But if he's willing to get in, you know, around the 25-30 grand mark in appearance money, and just being part of something that Rangers are looking to do this season and be part of European football, then yes. So it might appeal to him to come up to Scotland and just try and relaunch his career. He might feel that, with the greatest respect, that it's a perfect platform to do it, Andy, with, you know, slightly less challenging games sometimes. And he thinks, you know what, Steven Gerrard, no doubt, would have been a hero of his, probably.
Teammate, I would imagine.
Yeah, so do you want, there's a few things here. It comes down to, put it this way, if he still want to get 60, 70, 80, 80 grand a week, there's no chance it's going to happen. If he's willing to drop down to the Scottish figures of 25, 30, and even then, that's been, you know, really pushing the boat out, then I think there's a chance of something maybe happening to, you know, from now until the end of the season.
What would your take on it be, Andy?
I mean, listen, if you know you're getting a fully fit Jack Wilshere, it just seems like it's the potential to be a remarkable signing.
But you don't know, that would be the obvious one, eh?
The thing is, the last probably 3-4 clubs have thought that's what they're going to get. So it's from a personal standpoint, it must be so difficult for someone with his ability and his potential to obviously be constantly knocked with injuries. But I think if any contractor or negotiation do take place, I wouldn't be surprised to see a hefty sort of pay as you play contract, because I think that's probably the way forward if Rangers are going to bring him in.
Gary, ultimately, if a player's good enough, you find space for him. If he's better than what you've got, then he plays and the rest figures itself out. But did Rangers not get the one midfielder they were looking for last night in an already semi congested area? How would that all look? Is it something you would actively want to see happen?
To be honest, yeah. If he could stay fit, of course. I mean, it's not as if he's old, you know what I mean? He's 28, so he's still got a number of years in him. Yes, he's been plagued with injuries, but as I say, if he could stay fit, you know, he's... I know we got Zunga in, but he's not like, you know, a world-known name, if you know what I mean. Whereas Jack Wilshere, he's got experience at highest level. You know, he's played for England in big tournaments, and you know, he's got a number of caps behind them. And just to echo what Andy said there about one of the, you know, the kind of pay as you play sort of deals, I think that would be ideal, just in case he still did have his injury problems while he was here. But if he could stay fit, I think he would find it really good up here.
Right, it's maybe one to keep an eye on. Thanks to Gary in Thornley Bank. That just takes us up nicely to the end of the show. You two have still got two more answers on the teaser, though. One, I'll be honest with you, I think we can just forget about one, right? Yeah. I'll just tell you.
Is one a Swede?
Yes.
Is it Roland Nielsen?
Oh my goodness, that's the one I was going to write off. Well done, that's outstanding.
Chef Wade, he played for Chef Wade.
Coventry, he
you
managed.
You were just about to mention his name as well.
Were you? Tip of your
no,
tongue?
No, you were.
All right,
do you know why Roland Nielsen came up in my head? Do you remember the wee thing that was doing the rounds during lockdown? Pick your best 11 of different nationalities. You can't have two from the same that have played for the same team. And I had a problem getting a defender, and Roland Nielsen was my defender, just to get a Swede in at right back. So that's why Roland Nielsen came
over. As soon as you told me it was close to Finland, I needed a map.
Way over my head. Right, no, that's actually, funnily enough, there is another one that's close to. What about Norway?
Norway.
He played for the same team that he managed.
Right.
That team was Blackburn.
Oh, That was Henningberg.
Henningberg. There we go. We got there in the end. Thank you very much to Andy Halliday and to Mark Guidi. A massive, massive night for Scotland tomorrow. Make sure you join us at 6. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dl will be here. We'll build up to kick off, and hopefully it ends in the result we all want. Barry Wilkins is up next. He'll look after you for the rest of the night.